This morning, the first, the Old Testament scripture is from the book of the prophet Amos, 5th chapter, verses 21 to 24. I despise your festivals and take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. The offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." A word from our Holy Scripture.
Thanks be to God.
Many years ago, Sally and I were invited to share a meal with some friends. This was more than a meal. This was a feast. This was a fabulous feast. The plates all came out on silver platters. There was all the vegetables came out on silver platters. It was a magnificent meal. And then after all the vegetables were placed, out came the main course, which was this roast, this incredible roast. It was a huge roast, and it came on this gigantic silver platter, and it was marched out and placed in my general vicinity, and I was very pleased about that because I could smell this roast, and it was just amazing. It's amazing. And then the hostess looked at me and said, would you do the honors, Dean? And I was the only clergy person in the room, so it seemed pretty obvious. So I bowed my head and I swore that I'm terrible at graces, actually. I fumble over them, I make a mess of graces always. But I thought, this is going to have to be a mighty, mighty effort to honor this mighty meal. So I bowed my head and I thanked God for the peas and the carrots, the corn, the squash. I thanked God for the potatoes. I think I even thanked him for the salt and pepper and so on at one point. I thanked him for the sauces and everything else. And finally, I thought, this mighty prayer, I'm going to have to say something special about the roast. So I thank God for the ranchers who raised the animal. I thank the cow for his sacrifice. I thank the butcher for their good work. I thank the grocer for having the good sense to stock such a wonderful, wonderful cut of meat. And then I finally thank the host and hostess for providing such a wonderful feast. And I was pleased with myself, actually. I thought I had done a mighty, mighty prayer for this food. And it took 4 or 5 minutes, but I completed the job, I thought. And I looked up, and the hostess gave me kind of a quizzical look, and she said, "Well, that was very nice, Dean, but what I meant was, would you do the honor of cutting the meat?" Well, that was embarrassing. That's a true story, actually. And I carried that embarrassment for a week or two, and then I thought about, you know, there's a lesson for me in that sense of embarrassment. There's a lesson, and the lesson was, don't stereotype yourself. Don't put yourself in a box. Don't put your faith in a box and say, you're a part of this powerless peripheral group whose only job is to say grace or provide some worshipful thing on cue, and then let the important people do the important job of cutting the meat. I think our faith is more central than that. Our faith is really about cutting the meat, about doing the important thing, doing what people need in the moment. Bill Eesom is a church growth and development consultant who is based in the U.S. His company is based in the U.S., but he does programs in the U.S. and Canada. He's written a number of books, none of which I've read. But I went to one of his events that was in the United States, a big event in the area of Baltimore there in the States, and there was about 500-600 people at this event. And I went to the event expecting to learn a lot about church growth and development. And so what I expected was to learn 5 ways of doing this and 10 ways of doing that, 15 ways of doing the other thing. And in the little seminars, I did get a lot of that, actually. I wrote down 5 ways to do this and 10 ways to do that, 15 ways to do the other thing. And then I wrote them all down, I brought them home, and I subsequently lost them. And the dog ate them. I don't know what happened to them. But they're all gone. Which was all right, because the thing that I remembered about that event, the one thing that I remembered about that event was when Bill Eesom gave his major address to this 500 or 600 people, he said something that really, really captured me. He said that transforming the city was much more important than building the church. I thought that was really dramatic. For a fellow who church growth developed, he said transforming the city was much more important than building the church. He went on to say that an inward-focused church, a church that focuses solely on perfecting a repetitive set of activities to please their members, is doomed to fail. The important thing was transforming the city. In other words, cut the meat. In other words, transform the city. How can all the churches and all the faiths work together to transform the city? That's the key to our faith. And if you can remember the scriptures this morning from Amos, the Lord is saying, I despise your festivals. Imagine that. We do lots of festivals. I despise your festivals. But let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That's powerful. Does that sound like we're called to say a little prayer and get out of the way? It sounds like transforming the city. It sounds like cutting the meat. And then Jesus in Luke is really announcing what his ministry is going to be like. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Does that sound like saying a little prayer and getting out of the way? No, it sounds like cutting the meat. It sounds like transforming the city. That's our call. Julia has said this many times, and I'm going to repeat it now because I think it's very important. Jesus did not come on this earth to start a religious faith. He didn't say, line up, I'll sign you up as Christians. Jesus came to start a movement among his people. Healing, compassion, hope, justice, agape, or self-giving love was at the heart of this movement. We are called to be part of this movement. It's not about just saying a prayer and getting out of the way. It's being part of this movement. Say a prayer, yes. Definitely say a prayer. Prayer is an important part of our life. But say a prayer and let that prayer push us forward in the movement. The movement to bring healing, compassion, hope, justice, and self-giving love to the world. Say a prayer, definitely. And then cut the meat. That's what our faith is all about. Amen.